Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Week in League, a State of Origin 3 shows reuniting Teddy and Moses brings out the Delta variant of hashtag Dogs in Decline.
Fox TV airs West Tigers documentary under its original working title, The Human Nophipede.
Paul Gallen raises concerns about players maintaining abstinence in a bubble after he couldn't go three rounds his whole career without being completely anal.
Plus, we look ahead to all the action for round 18 of the 2021 NRL season.
All that and more This Week in League. Welcome to episode 416 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am Glenn. And I'm glad that came back.
It never left. Yeah. How you going anyway, mate? Mates? Plural?
I'm not your fucking mate. Go fuck yourself. You were right. Plenty. You were right the first time.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Not your pal, dick face. Let's get as many buddy or pal references as we can and start people to tick off the list of where they came from. So, welcome, new listeners. Welcome, old listeners. Before we get started, do we actually want to hit any news this week? We have discovered, as we were sort of discussing pre-recording, not a fuck ton of a lot going on. There's some developing stories that probably next week we'll be able to talk about. For example, the Rugby League World Cup. Is like an hour ago or, you know, an hour and a half ago, they're going ahead with it. And there's been some friction and hesitation from the NRL side about supporting it and sending over a team, for Australia. But the organisers there, they seem like they're pretty switched on. And it's like, look, you know, we don't have all the answers yet, but we're going to make it work. And it's, you know... We don't know what's going to happen yet with Australia, but I mean, yeah, there's provisions. They've got powers to assemble an Australian team together from like Super League players and shit like that. If the NRL wants to try and,
could you imagine some of the luminaries on the green and gold jersey if they had to select strictly from Super League players?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the Australian-based players, just from a timing perspective, because, you know, they're going to have to do like a couple of weeks quarantine sort of thing before they, you know, so it is going to be sort of tight on the schedules and everything, but it's doable and I think it'll all happen. But it's good that they've just sort of put their flag and said, look, this is happening. If soccer can, you know, run the Euros. And if you know Japan can run the Olympics and everything, there's no fucking reason why the Rugby League World Cup can't proceed. So, more on that when it's all sort of decided. That's literally just been stamped about an hour ago, though. So, otherwise, I think news-wise,
just to play dickhead's advocate, though.
Yep.
I understand the NRL being hesitant, and I love the international game, and I love cheering on the Kangaroos. But you got to remember, the NRL are the competition here. They're not the international game.
Yeah, of course. You know,
the NRL are worried about next year's broadcast rights, any sort of biosecurity measures they're going to have to get involved in, the wear and tear on players' body and injuries, etc. They've already had to take a haircut based on COVID last year. So I understand them being dubious about going, hey, travel internationally during a global pandemic that's realistically only controlled up until this point with border closures.
I agree with you, but...
unpopular opinion. I don't think the fucking Olympics should be going on.
I agree with that, too.
They're not even having fans. They're not having spectators anymore. They sort of pulled them out about 3 or 4 days ago. Which it's crazy, but, you know, look, we could go down a whole other fucking rabbit hole of should the Olympics even exist, honestly, because...
How fucking dare you?
Oh, fuck yourself. I would honestly, like, I would look, rather...
Look, I've tried. My dick's not big enough.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. Once every 4 years, people that like track and field who are over the age of 9...
What if you only like track but not
yeah.
field?
Yeah, but they only like it. They only like it to an extent because, I mean, if you really loved it, you'd be filling. You'd want to be filling all these motherfuckers up to their eyeballs with Decker and seeing truly how fast a human being can travel.
That's it. Well, again, here's the thing. If you like running races after the age of 9, I'm sorry. You got serious fucking issues there.
And like, if a guy can,
I don't like participating in them.
What's a gold medal? What's a gold medal long jump worth? Like how far would that? How far is that? What's the record? Do you know? Glenn will know. You don't care. You don't care, Jay.
What the fuck's long jump anyway? That's less skilled than a fucking egg and spoon race.
It was the sport invented to see the kid who got to the Tonka truck in the sandpit first did fucking recess.
Exactly.
That's what it came down to.
Exactly.
Oh, fuck me dead.
So, but yeah, I want to see 8.95 meters. Okay, so it's 9 meters. I want to see a guy jump fucking. I want to see a guy jump 12 meters. Get on the gear. Let's see what a human. Let's see what humans can really do. I want to see how high someone can really jump.
Yeah. What about javelin on like full steroid? Like some cunt in the crowd who gets speared through the forehead in the nosebleed section.
No, here's the thing,
and I see no problem with that.
I want X Games, Olympics.
Yes, yes.
I want long jump. I want long jump, but it's not on sand. It's on bitumen.
It's on lava. And so it's actually incentivized you to get over the pit.
Yeah. That's it. I want long javelin.
The world record. Suicide.
The pit is exactly 8.95 meters long, full of lava, incentivizing people to break the world record.
I want javelin.
This week where you've got to put cunts give opinions on the Olympics.
Where you've got to put everyone who's competing on a football field. They've all blindfolded. They've all got to spin around 10 times and then yeet it. That's the javelin I want to see, all at the same time.
Or you run javelin as one. You run javelin, discus, and hammer throw as the three last events on the track and field calendar. What happens in the previous events, like all the 100, 200, 400, etc. If you don't finish on the podium and get a medal, then you become part of the gallery on the field.
So
that are then there to be hit by javelins, hammer throws, and discuses. And you don't get a score just for distance. You get a score for how many people you fucking take out.
And like if you take out a French person, it's double points.
You get automatic gold medal if you hit a French person first. So just on like, to come full circle, I think we've been too hard on David Nofaluma. I think he's got aspirations not only to play Origin because he deserves it, but I think he also feels that he deserves a gold medal in the long jump. And every fucking Sunday afternoon, he does about 9 meters jumping from the sideline, 9 meters in field, which is approximately 6 meters away from his opposition winger.
Yeah.
The thing I like about that the best is the fact that you said it.
Yeah, I'm fucking converted. I'm converted when he started throwing his fucking teammates under the bus. Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yep. I can dig it. And I'm all for it. And I think the X Olympics are a big. I think the X Olympics are a concept that we should trademark immediately and buy also, the domain name.
As a positive, similar to what's happening in the NBA at the moment, if Australia's not there, that might actually be a positive for the Rugby League World Cup. You know, if England and New Zealand are there, you would still assume that they would be the finalists.
Surely Samoa's got to be fucking.
I was going to say, given some of the beatings that New Zealand's taken recently and England, that opens it up in a fucking big way for some of those that used to be considered developing nations and are now on equal pegging with the big boys. So, yeah, if Australia, I'd prefer Australia not to compete rather than field a fucking team of has-beens.
Oh, a team of exiles or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. But I mean, by far, you know, my first, you know, I want Australia to actually send over a proper team. And this year, you know, because we don't have that weird, you know, the weird late finishing competition and postseason origin stuff like that, people aren't, you know, we're not finishing games a week before Christmas.
Yep.
You know, so we can actually hope, you know, hopefully send over.
And it'll essentially just be the New South Wales origin team.
Yeah, minus anyone who's not fit.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's it.
Which will probably make it convenient for fucking Daly, because you know Cleary won't be going.
He'll need surgery. Yeah.
He's needling up to defer surgery, and he'll definitely have it at the close of the season.
So Ben Hunt will probably be the seven.
Luai should be okay to get in there, but I mean, then you've got Munster as well. I mean, he'll go in the squad. I think they're sending
over. Luai won't play for Australia. He'll play Samoa, won't he?
Yeah. Well,
is he Samoa or Tonga?
He's Samoa,
isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Mel was in his ear.
But then there's all that other fuckery as well. Like, you know, what's his current 2021 eligibility?
Why doesn't fucking Meninga just fuck off? Like, the best thing about the international game over the last several years has been the emergence and the strength of Tonga and Samoa.
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
Well, I dare say Samoa hasn't been strength or emerged much. Tonga, however, been a fucking revelation.
That is true. Definitely the stronger of the two. But just on this week in basketball, have you noticed, and referencing people throwing their fucking teammates under the bus, but in this case, I'm all for it. Have you seen the passive aggressive Instagram activities of the NBA guys that are playing for the Boomers in regards to, you know, doing it with my brother's green and gold for life, all this sort of stuff, like real veiled sort of shit at
Simmons? But I don't know how veiled it is either. I think they're about that life.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Paddy is
about that life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's 100% legend.
I love that guy.
I'm sure they understand that it's being seen by certain cowards.
Yeah.
If it was really going to be passive aggressive, they'd be there mentioning Matisse Thybulle at every fucking given opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing as, look, you know what? What's the only thing Ben Simmons would bring to the Boomers? Oh, this amazing fucking defensive mindset. You know, Tease is almost Ben's equal in defense. What is he now? 2 years out of college.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I'm fucking.
Fuck, he's young. He's fucking
best,
young.
Best Australian at the Sixers. It's just crazy. The Sixers have got the best Australian player and the worst at the moment.
That's it.
On their roster. Yeah, at the Sixers, that is. I mean, because obviously, you know. I'm loving how fucking gung ho about it. You know, Paddy is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fucking love it.
Yeah.
But good on him. Yeah, and that's great. And I mean, and look, you know, watching that game the other day against the US, and I was proud of the way that the US guys played, and I think if they keep at it and get their systems right, you know, in a couple of years they'll have a fair team. they might actually make a go at this basketball thing.
And real talk, us being that excited about, you know, beating that US team the way they played, that's kind of like Queenslanders being excited about winning last night.
Yeah, the West Tigers a bit about, you know, beating Penrith in Origin.
Yeah.
Beating Origin period. And
I'm trying to segue into the Origin review, you cunts.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you know, what you say, to boil it down to two words that have become, you know, legendary this season. It's all about illegitimate joy.
It really is.
And the illegitimate joy we're feeling with the, you know, supporting the Boomers, you know, beating the United States in basketball, and the Queenslanders beating New South Wales in a dead rubber. And Queensland 20 did defeat New South Wales 18 at Hope Solo. Says the crowd here, so it was 26,307. I went to get tickets for this game. And admittedly, I picked like the New South Wales supporters bays, couldn't get two tickets in there. And then I was like, oh, that's fucked. And then so I just did the, you know, best tickets at any price. And they sort of came back at like, you know, $460 or something for like, you know, diamond, you know, whatever. And then when the game, and I was like, fuck, man, this must be close to sold out. And then you see the game on TV and it's like, certainly far more than a Titans crowd, don't get me wrong, but there was plenty.
There was more ice cream salespeople.
There were plenty of aqua seats, and you know when there's really some empty sections when you see the yellow seats.
Yeah.
And we, like the aqua ones can kind of blend in a little bit to what was probably a predominantly New South Wales fan, audience. But yeah, the yellow ones, they really show you what time it is with the and they were in like what I would consider the away supporters base too. So I was like, fuck, I don't want the fucking ticketing. Anyway, Queensland's 20, tries 2, Tabuai Fadeau and a double to Ben Hunt. One conversion to Valentine Holmes, 2 to Daly Cherry Evans, a penalty goal to Val. New South Wales tries to Latrell, Jack White and Appy Corrissau, 3 conversions to Latrell. And of course he missed the crucial fucking idiotic
penalty 50 goal. Meter fucking...
Whose call was that?
Teddy's apparently. Or apparently Trell said, I can kick it, and Teddy backed him.
Yeah. Look, I, from a team unity perspective, I appreciate the vote of confidence. But man, Teddy, I tell you, that fucking guy.
You're off him.
I'm not off him. Like, if I said this to some guys last night, but I mean, like, if I'm an employer, if I'm HR... I am fucking terminating Mitchell Moses immediately. I'm terminating Jack Whiten immediately. And I'm giving a written warning to Teddy. He's getting his first written warning.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just feel like we'll get into like all the, you know, the nuts and bolts and everything like that. But it just, when you've got halves that aren't familiar with the system and aren't as good as the incumbents that they replaced, you know, via injury. I just don't think Teddy gave them the help. Like, he basically started hogging it more and doing what we've seen him do with East this year, because they've got everyone out fucking injured and he needs to take up this massive, you know, responsibility. Yeah. Every fucking time the ball got, like, slightly to the left or the right of the ruck, Teddy's fucking ends up with it, and then he sort of does that. He sort of stops and puts his hand out and pushes off, and then goes back around and just dies. Like, there's just no momentum in it. Nothing happens, and just these halves are struggling enough as it is, and it just fucks up the entire attacking structure. And as a result, Latrell, you know, barely got fucking any decent ball. Tommy got fucking none. I mean, the best thing he did was because he went in the middle and, you know, and found it. But we can get into it. I'll let you have your say first, Glenn. Oh, sorry, you can go if you want to.
Well, I was going to say, just on that note of what Teddy does, it's fucking great when you've already got a defense thinking that they need to slide and they're already moving for Teddy to come back in against the direction of their movement. That's when there's going to be gaps. When someone's just taken a settling hit up.
Yep.
And, or you're living where the bulk of the defense is.
Yep.
It really did boggle the mind. My call after that, I still think Teddy is the best fullback in the game. Not by much. But he's not the captain next year.
Oof. I would say from my perspective, he's the captain. But the thing is that counts against him is if you don't play him at fullback, where do you play? Yeah. Whereas Turbo has shown that he can be fucking dominant with, you know, 3 on the back or one or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I guess for Queensland, you know, they took advantage to some extent of the fact that New South Wales, having lost their halves, was severely down on the level that they were at in the first two games. To the point where they were like a different fucking side, clearly. And I
don't want to be just fucking harping on, like, you know, the half situation, but it's just...
No, but it's...
Like Jack Whiten is a fucking... He's not run first, he's run only.
Yeah.
And not only that, he's just so slow to fucking react to any opportunity. I mean, there were times when we had overlaps on the left that would have been tries in games 1 and 2 because you fucking send it. You know, but Whiten, he wouldn't take the kicks to try and get the repeat sets, and then it goes out to Latrell, and he tries to take a kick, and then it turns into a clusterfuck, and then Jack Whiten's offside anyway.
The thing is, though, in my opinion, up until probably this season, or this year's Origin series, when you watch the way Luai and Cleary and what they did to that team. Obviously, Trell and Turbo, you know, other guys were involved. But it all, in my opinion, it all revolves around those guys and the energy they bring and how the ball moves. Mm. Up until then, Jack Whiten would, in anyone's criteria, historically, since 1980, would be an Origin player. He looked so fucking far removed from the Origin arena last night. Yeah. That yeah.
Because he was last year. Yeah. He has been even in game two when he came on for 15 minutes at the end of the game and is in the centres or something.
Yep.
Like
I'm talking his style of play, right?
Yeah.
You know, you see where I'm coming from. Whereas
yeah.
Cleary and Luai in two games, really, together, have changed the way Origin is fucking played, and it shows. Queensland weren't up anywhere near their standard in the first two games. And, you know, they took advantage of a stroke of luck of the fact that those two blokes weren't there, and the fact that Ben Hunt had 9 on his back. And I said that before game one, that probably was going to be the play, and he showed that, you know, what he can bring with his running game. So.
It's a question I wanted to ask you, Glenn. And I know we've taken the piss out of a lot of players for being fucking filthy hype merchants. Do you think Queensland were affected by the Harry Grant hype? I mean, you've got Ben Hunt, who has done a job at hooker before for Queensland. He brings those invaluable traits of having a half's mind and a half's passing game and kicking game, and puts that in the number 9. So essentially you've got 3 playmaking options. Sure. In his spine. Were they the victim of hype and...
I think not only Grant, but also Ponga. But for speaking about Grant specifically, the fact that Smith hasn't been there and Harry Grant, you know, has been dubbed, you know, the heir apparent, so to speak, that the expectation on him and, you know, you look at what he did and what he's done in the NRL and the style of play that he brings, he's well suited to the Origin arena, but you wouldn't say he was tried and tested and proven.
Yeah,
that's it. But I think, and you saw last night that even guys like Munster look around, and someone like Ponga's playing with them, or Harry Grant, you know, in certainly from a Melbourne perspective, and even guys like Munster look to those guys and lift when, like, Munster's the fucking, in my opinion, if he's not the best player in the game, he's in the top 3. Why the fuck would he be looking at anyone else to lift him? Like, he's the guy that everyone else would be looking at, I would think.
Yeah, that's it.
You know?
I think the thing is, the Harry Grant thing, you take him out of the equation entirely, because the main thing that Ben Hunt had going for him was he's 100 times better than fucking Andrew McCulloch.
Yeah,
that was where that's where it came. I mean, they actually got decent service. They had a guy that, you know, like you said, with the, you know, the mentality and the skill set of a half, you know, along with the sort of, you know, defensive, he can handle the defensive load in there, you know, a dummy half and everything.
If there's an opportunity to, you know, with, you know, lazy markers or whatever, his first 3 or 4 strides. Yeah. Aren't the same speed as a dog scooting its ass along the floor.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. And, exactly.
But to New South Wales as well, like, stripping rugby league back to its most basic self, it's the job of the attacking side to make the defence make decisions with the most amount of uncertainty they can. And when you have Luai in there, when he's coming at you in a defensive line, when you're in a defensive line and he's attacking towards you, you know he's fucking lightning fast. Shit, is he going to run? You know he's got a short pass and a long pass. Shit, who's outside him? You know he's got a beautiful short kicking game where he can get it in behind the line, side of the boot, running at an angle so easily. Fuck, is he going to kick?
Mm.
Defensive lines are there, and they're trying to process and guess what the fuck he's going to do so they can react to it.
Even if he doesn't run very far, is he going to put footwork on me so I then make a wrong decision? Yeah. So it's not even him running past me, it's some other cunt, because I've completely fucked my decision.
And so instead of all of those decisions, last night it became, oh, we just crowd Jack Whiten and we tackle him.
Mm.
We're just going to crowd Jack Whiten because he's only going to do a fucking short pass to Dale Finucane.
And if he kicks, it'll go dead and we'll get seven tackles.
Mm. Yeah, and then on the other side of the thing, you get the situations there where Turbo's calling for a fucking contestable kick and there's plenty of grass in between, you know, 5 metres out from the goal line, and Mitchell Moses kicks it and it ends up midfield on about the fucking 25 metres out from the, you know, like...
Mm. I'll tell you one thing.
And if he doesn't do that, he cuts it back into the left and just completely starves fucking Turbo and Fox of any ball for the entire fucking game.
That's it.
One thing this series has shown me, and there's been, you know, lots of players over the years in both camps, but there's players, and Mitchell Moses, in my opinion, was one of those last night, players that put that jersey on and go, yeah, I'm an Origin player. And it begins and ends there. What the fuck are you going to do with that, mate? You know, like, but then you have Luai who puts that jersey on and says, I'm going to dominate at this level as well. Turbo the same. You know, Teddy, okay, maybe not as much this series, but in previous years.
No, Teddy's still,
you know, he's still fucking good. I mean, Fox is another one. Puts a jersey on, I'll fucking dominate.
Like, you know my position on Luai, but he was
bent over in front of him.
Fucking just presenting, just absolutely fucking goat-seeing myself. But he was fortunate that his Origin debut came with, you know, To'o there, Cleary there, Isaiah Yeo there, Liam Martin on the bench. There was a lot there to make him feel familiar. Cast your mind back to Cleary's Origin debut. You remember those series that it had finished, and the only thing you could say about Nathan was, oh, he didn't shirk his defensive responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, he tackled well.
It was back when all he had was like the midfield bomb.
Yeah. Like Mitch Moses did nothing to endear himself to say that he's even a suitable understudy to Nathan at Origin level. However, Nathan's first couple weren't crash hot.
No, so, but Moses, I mean, you know, even if he killed it, he still wasn't getting another game except through injury.
However, I would like to see him take that back to Clubland. And if I'm a Parramatta fan, the best case or the only positive case scenario out of this is that he goes, yeah, fuck, I was out of my depth there.
Mm.
And it's a humbling moment for him that he really that takes it
Mitch
as.
Mitch Moses has got a lot of humbling moments.
I don't think he's got that in his mentality at all. Ever.
No, I don't think he does either. The fact that he's,
I think he's a tweeny. I think he's you know too good for too good for first grade. Yeah, and that's what you do, mate. I've always said it.
But I don't think he's too good for first grade.
No, you know what I mean. He's a first grader, but he's not an Origin player.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. This fucking drives me crazy when you get that injury, like, you know, in the second last tackle before half time, Valentine Holmes rubs him out of the game. So then what do you do? So you've got fucking Fox who scored a billion tries, club and Origin level.
Yeah.
You've got Turbo who scored a billion tries at club and Origin level and dominated the fucking series, best player in the series. Mitchell Moses at any stage does not think, maybe.
There's an untested defensive combination there.
You've got fucking Brimson who's probably playing the wing for the first time of his life. And then you've got a debutant.
And it's a haircut like Adolf Hitler.
Oh, just, yeah.
Or Simple Jack.
Like Hitler fucking cut his own hair. and then you've got fucking Tabuai Fido, who's not a centre, and he's in his debut, and he's untested. Yeah. I mean, and if you couldn't put, at no point in the game, not once, could Moses put fucking Tommy one-on-one with fucking Hammer.
Mm.
Not once.
Yeah, that's like, it.
Fuck me. But let's like the thing, you know, the problem with Queensland was the forwards were lazy and completely outmatched. Not this game, they weren't.
Yeah.
Was this a feature of, you know, the fact that Ben Hunt's giving better service and, you know, more of a forward role on than McCullough? Yep. Absolutely, I'd say 100% yes.
That's it.
But also, with the exception of maybe Flegler, they just played like, you know, Tino was back to, you know, the way Tino's supposed to be. And, you know, Fotowaika is as good, you know, is what you expect. Yeah, and they were just much better. Mm. And then with more room, you know, you come, you know, the long kicking of Daly, you fucking, you know, keep puts New South Wales back down their own end, and we don't have a long kicker to get us out of the shit. I mean, Mitchell Moses can kick long, but he never found the, did he find the grass once?
No.
I'm not sure he did.
Another thing last night probably proved to me, and I know there would still be Harry Grant to come into the side, but Queensland with a full strength side and you know, Ponga 1, Munster 6, Daly 7, and, you know, probably Harry Grant 9 with Ben
and
Hunt.
Not McCulloch, and not and McCulloch. Not McCulloch.
Nine. Yeah, and Ben Hunt yeah. probably 14, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And New South Wales with a full strength side. I don't think it's 50, but I still think New South Wales win comfortably.
Oh, yeah. I think so
just,
as well.
Just the you way, know. The energy and the speed that they do it. Because of the Penrith combination, I think that they're still – you put both teams' full-strength sides on the park,
yep.
100% fit, I still yeah. think New South Wales is at least two tries better.
Yeah, and it's the thing is even in this game, I mean, were, you know, for a lot of the first half, New South Wales were rolling very fucking easily on the ground, you know, from their 10 to sort of, you know to the you know opposition 40 in a set easily. But it's when they were getting down into these positions, they weren't doing. They couldn't do anything with it because their attacking structures were just absolutely fucked out because of the halves switch.
I was also pretty impressed to see, albeit in a dead rubber, but in the back end of the game, it's, you know, 7-8 minutes to go, and Queensland, you know, Daly puts a kick down, and you know you've got guys like Welsh and Papali, and just really like. Swarming and trying to yeah. lift to you know bring the victory, or, you know yep. to seal the victory. People have made a lot of comments about you know the Queensland spirit and all this, and to be honest, that last 6 or 7 minutes or certain patches of that last 6 or 7 minutes was the most of that Queensland spirit. It certainly wasn't evident in games one yeah. and two, but you know you could see that those guys were you know it still means something. To certain guys to pull on that jersey, no matter if it's a dead rubber or what.
Nice. And on the socials, unless you guys have anything else to say?
No.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else to say because I don't want to leave anything. Yeah, because you know what's going to happen. You're going to get people going, oh, but you didn't fucking talk about this. Motherfucker, I haven't got any notes in front of me. I'm just fucking kicking it off the dome.
And out of respect for Nate, neither Glenn or I are going to laugh at the entire state of Queensland still booing Dally Cherry Evans. Because well, I mean, they finally understood the person that he is.
Yeah, but did you say it wasn't that they were booing him specifically when
no,
the
they
teams
were
went
him specifically.
No, when the teams
when he
ran
got
out
up to give a speech.
Don't talk over me. When the teams ran out on the field to warm up, when the teams ran out on the field to warm up at the start of the game, Queensland were booed. It was a fucking New South Wales. It was a New South Wales crowd, which was great.
Yes, no, but then when he got up to give his speech after the game. After yeah. the game, when he was the only one on a podium in front of a microphone,
yeah,
they said,
and,
boo,
and who was in,
Dally.
And who was in,
they
and
said,
who was in,
boo, Dally.
And who was in the audience? New South Wales people, because Queensland people were at Robina Station because they don't want to watch fucking New South Wales lifting the shield.
No, it was Queensland fans.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
But you know what? Titans fans,
Queensland fans, we'll add
can
that.
All, can all fucking, can, they can they can all suck the entirety of his fucking asshole. Because, you know, he brought them home to the only win they've had this fucking season, single-handedly almost.
We'll
he scored
see
four
what...
points, the margin was two. Fucking Daly FC.
Lachlan in the Facebook group said, I reckon the Ponga hype is a bit over the top, but he was a pain for New South Wales tonight. He looked quick. He certainly did. Warren. Said Teddy ran 250 metres on the same three blades of grass. Seriously, he ran so many circles, it was like he was trying to make himself dizzy. Pappenhausen or Nico will be better options next year.
Oh,
how the,
come on,
how
you're
the
gonna,
fuck
dude, oh, fuck off.
Is
gonna,
Nico yeah. Hines an Origin player already?
Like, just you know, there are players who are like of the moment.
Do you know what Nico
The Storm
Hines?
Are fucking beating people by 40 every game at the moment, and he's the man, you know, that's... You know, largely like a you know the, yeah. their sort of you know spark and catalyst
do,
in there.
Do you know
so
what
that's
Nico
just
Hines
of the moment
is going to have to do? Leave the Storm and not be shit. That's
well,
what
yeah.
he's going to have
well,
to do.
That's 2022, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean he's got to do it at the Sharks.
Exactly.
I think he will, though. I think he's good. I'm not dropping fucking Teddy. Like, fuck out of here. When everyone's in their place and they're all 100%, Teddy won't try and overplay his hand. I think he's just completely battle scarred this year from what's happening at Easts.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Just on Jay, if we were to compile the power rankings, of your favorite fucking targets. And I don't need a top 10. I'm just interested, if there was a top two, would Daly or Noffa be top of the list?
Oh, Daly's number one by fucking, like, not even close.
Really? Nah. I feel that Noffa is number one.
No,
because deep Noffa's down.
Noffa's more me. I do get Noffa.
Deep down, I feel Daly has excuses and challenges that he lives with.
I love that you're warming up to smash them both in the politest way possible.
and I think somewhere I've seen Daly Cherry Evans cry. Like he at least understands what a fucking disappointment he is to rugby league. You know, he gets the gravity of the fucking social vacuum that he is when people are around him, whereas Noffa is willfully ignorant. He's a mental anti-vaxxer in that he ignores the science.
Fuck, I'm sorry, I
of
asked.
His own shitness.
You did this,
guy. I did. I really did.
You did this.
Fuck.
You know? Daly's a German Jesus person Christ. In 1950. Saying, I know I lived through it, and I should have done something, I should have spoken up, but I was scared. I'm a terrible human being, and the death camps were awful. Noffa's there demanding to turn the showers on.
Because he deserves it.
He deserves it.
You've literally, Offa is Ivan the Terrible, is that fucking Kablinka, that's what you're saying. What a shame that fucking Cleary didn't go back to Penrith, because I mean then you got that whole fucking, you know, like it just ruined a great bit.
Now, in the spirit of fairness of voices on our show, we like to have a wide cross section of opinions. Facebook group said putting Gutho as right hand ball boy really energised Turbo and the rest of our right hand attack. Hashtag the king is real. Hashtag Gutho for PM.
Yeah, look, in the spirit of you know, mending bridges and things that, you know, I may have slightly, you know, singed over the last couple of weeks, you know, with Gutho and Origin and everything, I would just like to say that Tommy Turbo could never have got that Wally Lewis medal without the superb orange cutting skills that Gutho brought to the fucking halftime break.
It was the vitamin C levels that really got him.
Vitamin C is the number one nutrient required to get a Wally Lewis fucking medal for player of the series.
I thought it was epilepsy.
Well, I mean, it's like isn't the removal of it, though? I mean, you've got it like... And I mean, I know Tommy's been under the knife a bit a few times, but I mean, I don't think he's ready to go to that level yet and actually literally have a piece of his fucking brain.
Adam said, can I please get my photo taken with the winning State of Origin Shield team? I've played in exactly the same amount of winning State of Origin games as Mitchell Moses, and he got to. Nathan said, in summary, Moses is not Cleary. Gutherson gave everyone AIDS in camp. 94-26
and it's still the greatest. And despite the 2-1 thing and everything, it's still the greatest for and against differential for a series in history.
That's it. Our good friend Batoshi Dakamoto said Queensland beats New South Wales B by 2 points, and the carry on is unbelievable. Sad state, but we shouldn't expect more from the faded curtain frauds.
I will say I was I don't know what the right word is, but to see Brimson was one. He was like celebrating like he'd just won the fucking premiership.
Yep.
And
Titans play, absolute Povo mentality.
At Robina. He won a game at Robina.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a fucking novelty. What a treat.
And Ponga. Ponga was the other one.
Yeah.
Like, for fuck's sake, guys, just dial it down. You won the game. Shake hands. Fuck off. Kick Gutho in the cunt on the way through. And be done with it.
That's it. Mup said the greatest trick Bozo ever pulled was convincing the QRL that DCE was a rep player. At DSSmith232 on Twitter said, this reminds me so much of when Queensland won all those series and New South Wales would win game three, giving them hope.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck, but do you remember that feeling?
I know. I know that feeling. Yeah, very well.
Next year's our year. Yeah, good. We dominated them in game three.
Jay, they fucking showed something.
And you know how long that would last?
They showed us something. Yeah,
all the way until game one next year.
First 15 minutes of the next year.
I was going to say about 12 fucking, minutes into game one.
Until Greg Inglis fucking, you know, slapped fucking whoever the centre was into his dick on the way through. To passing a little fucking alley-oop to Darius to add another try to his fucking impressive total of unimpressive tries.
Long-time listener Acuntio on Twitter with a surprisingly serious tweet says, Cleary and Luai showing their true worth tonight. They've made a remarkable impact on the 2021 season. Yes, they have. Catlike7 on Instagram said, New South Wales weren't at the same standard as previous games across the board. Queensland fielded a better team, learned from the first two games and squeaked home. 3-0 is harder than we think. It is, and I'm fucking glad for that. I really am glad that a clean sweep is special.
But I still maintain, side intact, no problem.
100%.
Also, yeah. I'm going to say, here's the other take that we haven't mentioned tonight yet. You drop the fucking Souths halves in there.
Yeah.
Same story. Not a massive ass whooping, but I think they would have found that 2 points.
Well, Cody Walker has all of the positive, you know, early steps running game of Luai and the passing game.
Yeah. So. Menu Log could have fucking banged it over from halfway too.
Yeah.
Easy.
Akadel on Instagram said, thank fuck Ben Hunt got out of the Broncos before they corrupted his mental health to Milford levels and deprived us of that win.
How's the commentary was so fucking tarded. Like, the only time I ever have to sit through Channel 9 is State of Origin, essentially. And my God, they were extra special. When Ben Hunt scored his first try, and he'd made that great tackle and dislodged the ball on Luttrell or whoever it was, and then, you know, a couple minutes later down the other end, he sneaks over and scores a try. And they just start talking, they just start going down memory lane going, oh, remember the 2015 grand final? And they just start talking about fucking all the shit that he, you know, all the shit that he, you know, the dropping the kickoff and everything like that. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why, you fuckheads?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. But yeah.
That's Origin.
Well, good. That's it for the socials. All right.
Done.
Okay, recap time. Not recap time. Fucking preview time. Some week in league. Was it round 18? Some round in NRL.
Here come all the fucking tin hats saying, they already know what the results are. It's a rort. They're on the inside now.
They've got the results early. Yeah, let me tell you, if that were the case, I would be throwing D-gens down like a motherfucker.
No, you wouldn't, because you're smarter than that.
Well, yeah, well, I wouldn't be throwing D-gens
down. I would be throwing D-gens down.
Yeah.
And if you accuse me of being smarter than that, I will slap you.
Yeah. My next door neighbour might have a lucrative and successful run. Anyway, the Gold Coast Titans take on the Eels. This one's at Cbus, the 6 p.m. game on Friday. The Titans lineup. What do we got? Unchanged 17. At this stage, as far as I can tell, Fotowaika, Big Tino and Brimson are named to back up. And Dave Fifita will play because his suspension was served during the Origin game. And then they've since trimmed the lineup down to the 19. And so Sam Stone, Jaden Campbell and Mitch Rain are gone. Eels side, Reid Marnie returns at hooker. Joey Lussick drops to reserves. Paulo and Moses are named to back up from Origin. Since then, what have we got? Okay, we do have an update. Paulo won't back up. Moses will. So Nicore replaces Paul up front, and Will Smith joins the bench. Look, Eels, right? It's the Titans. I don't think the Titans are going to particularly carry anything.
Yeah.
Particularly jubilant from the state of origin, if anything. I mean, there were huge games played by Mo and Tino. So if anything, I mean, I don't expect them to be at their best. They're going to be a little bit banged up, and I think that they might be either spending large stints on the sideline just to take care of them a little bit, or they'll just be, you know, not as effective as they ordinarily would be. I mean, yeah, it's an opportunity, I guess, for Dave Fafita to, you know, pick up their pack and put it on his back, but and earn that fucking $900,000.
I'd love to see the culmination of the origin period be the start of Parramatta's slide, but I don't think it's going to happen this week.
No, I can't see it happening this week. Okay. So, do you have any thoughts on that one there?
No, Jay? Nothing that you guys haven't gone on.
All right, Mighty Manly Seagulls take on the Dragons. It's a late game at Cbus. Hoping to get down with that. Hopefully fucking Queen Anna doesn't, like, lock us down overnight. I know we're close. I think we're heading for a lockdown, but...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a couple of motherfuckers that we'll talk about off the air. But Manly side, okay, so Tommy is going to be rested, yeah, from what I'm told. Cherry will back up. Schuster returns in the back row. And I think that looks, just looking at the lineup, that looks about, that's about what it is. Dragon side. Okay, so Matt Dufty, Terrell Fuimaono, and Cade Ellis, they're three players who were in the barbecue 12. So they're taking a suspension this week. Paul Vaughan got flicked from the Dragons, of course, so that's four guys there down. So Sloan moves to fullback, DeBellin to prop, and Jackson Ford to lock, and Hunt and Sims are named to back up from Origin. And then they've got a, I hadn't heard about this. Someone actually took them up on their fucking offer of loans and shit. So Jermaine Tanua-Brown is on loan for the Warriors, and he joins the bench.
Wow.
And good on the Warriors for being, you know, happy to return the favour.
But at the same time, fuck them for, like, you know, like, Manly gave, you know, Manly gave a player to the Warriors, and that was great. And I think those guys sacrificed so much to keep the season running as a full complement of teams. And I have, you know, we've already spoken about ad nauseum last year, but I have that much respect and gratitude to what they did. The Dragons, though, they made their fucking bed. These cunts. Dead set. Yep. Don't give them shit. Fuck 100%. Them. If they have to forfeit, fucking forfeit. Dead set. Like, fuck. Like, I cannot stress enough how much to fuck these guys. Like, give them the surprise anal, give them the fucking full treatment.
Look, to be honest, the only thing worse than the Dragons is their fan base. And the only thing worse than the Dragons' fan base is the playing group. And the only thing worse than the Dragons' playing group is the fucking hiding that they're going to get in this game.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it'll be a close game.
Fuck off, mate.
Dragons' season's on the line.
They haven't had a season. They don't have a season. They've lost twice to the Tigers. They put paid to any hopes of a season that they may.
Yeah, I think this game's more of a risk to Manly. You know, you've got all of the ingredients here for coming in and taking their opponents a little bit lightly.
It's just playing flat because they've still got a number of guys out through injury, and it's become abundantly fucking apparent that Desi doesn't really give a fuck about this period. I think he's treating these games as nice to haves rather than must wins, and you can see that there are players that are being rested longer than they need, like, you know, being kept for an extra week and, like, extra cautious, and then I think next week is when he's sort of got it penciled in as when, you know, season's on, everyone's back, and then it's like the charge to just fucking finish off the season strong and, you know, whatever. But as a fan, I want to win every week.
When you're in front by 30 in this game.
Send me a texter. Put it on OHP. Fucking take a picture. Don't give a fuck. If they're up by 30, great.
Tell me I was right.
Exactly.
And you'd be fucking happy about it.
I'll tell you if you're... Hey, I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong, man. Gladly.
It's never happened.
Gladly, Glennie. Oh, ridiculous. I do it every week on this show. Yeah, but yeah, I still expect Manly to win. All they needed last week to beat the Raiders was just halves, and they've got their fucking superstar, probably second best player in the entire series after Tommy back in the side in Daly, and yeah, they should go on with it. The Cowboys take on the Roosters up there at the Abattoir. So beautifully fucking realised after the State of Origin game one when it became an abattoir for State of Origin. The Cowboys side, okay. So
how the fuck is Valentine Holmes in the side?
Well, Valentine Holmes is not. He will not be backing up. No way, right? I didn't see what the prognosis was on his injury.
And
but
I do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I don't.
You're not just being clever. You actually do.
This weekend, that's how I did mine.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, the bush doctor speaks. Shoulder injuries, they're fucked.
Yeah. He's fucked. Official diagnosis, he's fucked.
Yeah, so look, I expect Molo and Tabuai Fadoe to back up, though. So I'm not sure. I don't have an updated list on who they would run at fullback in probably Hammer, yeah, or... the Roosters side, okay, what do we got here? So Tedesco and Crichton, I can imagine that they'll be fine to return from Origin duty. Billy Smith drops the reserves. Manu back to centre. Lou moves to accommodate Crichton. And SST is out. And Fletcher Baker on the bench. So did you see that thing on Instagram from SST? Did we talk about it on Sunday? Yeah, he did that fucking like anti-vaxxer rally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I was sort of joking, saying, well, you know, he's like, you know, we'll all be there or whatever. And they're like, yeah, well, you're not going to be there because you're going to be in Queensland in a fucking bubble. Perhaps not. Perhaps he isn't after all. Maybe he's going to the fucking so if he's looking for an autograph, go for it. Look, Roosters, right? Surely.
Yeah, I think Roosters 100%. Will be comfortably.
I mean, you look at their outside backs now, and you're just like, fucking, you're going, that's a Roosters looking back line now. You know what I mean? When you get Marnie back in the centres where he belongs, and you know, Teddy's back there, still that the inexperience and the vulnerability in the halves there. But I don't think
Cowboys are good enough to do much with that.
I mean, they've only, you know, they could send, you know, Frank Molo at them and, you know, kill them maybe, but. That's about the only chance.
Who also had a very good Origin game.
He was pretty good in his
side. He was very good. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, killed it, as we say. Look, Roosters. I can't see a path to victory for the Cowboys.
Correct.
The Raiders take on the Sharkies at Cbus on Saturday. The Raiders side. So Whiten and fucking, what did Rabs call Papa Lee last night? It was like fucking. Like, I think he said like Papali E. It was like it's just like
God.
He's so demented now.
Look, Fatty called him Papali last night.
Yeah. So
is that like a pronoun now? He's not allowed to be called Papali anymore. He's officially come out and said it's Papali E.
Yeah, I mean, if a player says this is how my name is, that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You say what their name the way it is.
Yeah, I get it.
Look, Whiten should be fine to be back as well. Okay, so Elliot Whitehead's out with a head laceration, a shoulder injury. Matt Frawley will make way for Whiten. Denamis Louis got a calf injury. He's out. So it's fairly inexperienced looking back line there from the Raiders. The Sharkies side, unchanged from their win last Sunday. Untroubled by State of Origin representative requirements, with the exception of the Moot, who has fractured hopes and dreams from the Origin series, but that's about the end of it. He'll still take his place on the wing.
This is a tough one to call. I'm going to say
it is.
I'm going to say Raiders, but I think it'll be a close game.
I'm going to say Sharks because. They're an uninterrupted lineup. I don't think the Raiders are good at all. I don't think last week was a turning
maybe
point for
maybe
them.
Maybe I just
like
feel
that.
Like the Raiders should be better than the Sharks, or they've done fuck yeah. All
well, look,
to show
you look on,
that's the case.
You look on paper and you're like, how are they? a team that's in trouble.
And Sharks are $1.74 favourites, so what the fuck do I know?
Sharks lost to the Broncos, though, too, so, look, you know, you could very well turn out to be correct. I think I'd go Sharks, though.
Jay?
Look, the Sharks have surprised me a couple of times this year. And I think up against a side like the Raiders, where their best player, like by far their best players are backing up.
Yeah.
I think there's the opportunity for the Sharks to have an upset here. So I'm going to go the Sharks.
And Aaron Wood playing for a lucrative Eels contract as well.
Is it the Eels now?
Allegedly. Broncos have cooled off because they were looking at someone else. Who were the Broncos looking at? I forget. The Broncos, I did see that the Broncos have put a line through Josh Hodgson, and they're extending and throwing extra responsibility onto fucking Turpin.
Well, they've given him a year.
So, yeah.
Look, creatively, I think you Turpin lacks, but can't deny the guy's fucking heart and defensive application, which is more than can be said for many of his teammates.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, maybe it's just easy to look good in the Broncos lineup in the year of our Lord 2021.
Yeah, and if everyone else is missing plenty, there's probably an opportunity to make 46, 47 tackles a game.
Yeah. The Storm take on the Knights at Cbus Saturday night. I'm disappointed that they haven't thrown any games up at Kiwana there, especially given their base to cut, like four of the teams up there. And given that it's not like a stretch to use that ground, it's because they've used it for, Storm games this year already.
Yeah.
It would seem fairly logical
to
use it.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. But no, they're just going to jam them all down in Cbus, so we'll see how good the surface is because it's got about five games this weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nice. What does it normally have on it? When there's no league being played on it, what do they do there?
Aquana? Cbus? Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing. They did the Sunny Coast Falcons play out of there.
Yep.
And other than that, it wouldn't be a lot, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, okay.
And look, maybe they feel it's not up to a triple header because, let's put three all Saturday games on at the one venue or something. Maybe it's not up to that. You certainly crowd-wise capacity it's not, and that's why, you'd look at, Cbus, which can hold, high 30s, I think, when it's full.
Yep.
And then, obviously Suncorp, can hold like 55 or whatever. Maybe it's just that. Maybe they think, look, we could put a game there, but, like a triple header or a double header, we could jam more into these other grounds and
make more money.
More money and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, Storm take on the Knights at Cbus, Storm side. No Pappenhausen, no Harry Grant. All the Origin guys are named. I don't think any of them were injured, really. Did anything come out of Fox getting smashed in the back before halftime?
No.
He seemed all right in the second half, didn't he?
Look, he's going to be fucking sore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Knights side. Okay, Saifidi and Frizzell are back. Barnett moves to lock. Sue drops out. Ponga is named to back up, and I can't imagine any reason why he wouldn't. And I don't think it's going to help me either way, though.
$6.50 outsiders, the Knights, head-to-head.
Knights are feeling pretty good about themselves with the return of Ponga, but I think there's some home truths that are about to be revealed to them.
Such as? What are these home truths?
That they ain't there yet, and that the Storm, being one of the benchmarks, I'm going to show them just where the fucking line is that team should aspire towards.
Yeah. And reaching. The Knights can look, if they've got good eyes, can look all the way up to that line. They're a fucking long way from it.
Well, we'll see. I guess we'll see. Can their reconstructed spine with the burgeoning relationship between Pierce and Clifford, the return, return from injury from Ponga? I don't know. I don't give them much hope of winning this game.
Is there a timeline on Pappenhausen, or is it just...
No, he's kind of got the... I wouldn't say the Boyd Cordoners, but it's...
I saw them tweet
something. I don't think it was as bad. I don't think they thought it was as bad at the time, but it's just one of those ones where the symptoms haven't subsided on the timeline that they thought. And so the way the game is these days, you know, teams are extra cautious about that sort of thing. And
yeah, you know, so they're playing. It's still a fucking long time that he's been.
Yeah, it is. I saw a tweet from the club yesterday, the day before, that kind of alluded to him. You know, he was, you know, him training a bit more solidly with them, and perhaps an indication that he's not as far away.
But the worrying thing is, though, now the science is showing, and you know, we've had an example of it within our own listenership. I won't go too far into it, but you remember there was somebody posted a very, very personal and tragic story about a child of theirs that had a condition essentially made it easier for them to sustain head injuries.
Yeah.
And now they're discovering that just as different people have different, you know, dimensions and ratios on parts of their body, other people have more or less space between their brain and the skull, and or more fluid or less fluid, or the viscosity of the fluid's different.
Just changes the susceptibility.
And that's it. So, yeah, you look at those situations. There was one recently where there was somebody, Monty Christian Welsh, knocked heads with Brian Toto.
Hmm.
And Welsh couldn't stand up again and needed to go for an HIA.
Yeah, and Toto was fine.
And Toto was fine. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that go into that. There's the physics of the collision and whereabouts on the head and the position and how much impact the neck took and all of these things. But there are also physiological things now, whereas what could be an innocuous hit on somebody that might give them a headache can be months and months and months of trauma for somebody else.
Yeah.
And that'll be fucking sad if it comes back and Pappenhausen, it's just one of those... Hey, unfortunately, this is how your body works.
Yeah.
You
know, and I hope it's not so, because he's got a lot of years of outstanding football in front of him. But yeah, God, it's scary to think about what it could be.
Yeah, Storm by 40. The Warriors taking on the Penny Panthers at Suncorp on Sunday afternoon, part of a doubleheader. Look, does it fucking matter? I mean,
why are we even talking about it?
The Panthers are missing some players. You're going to get Dylan Edwards back at fullback, so that'll push Staines to the wing. That's a fucking net gain for the club.
Yep.
Naden will still be in there in centre.
Yep.
Burton will replace Luai in the halves. Yep. And May at halfback. The Origin players, Brian Toto, Yo Capewell, and Martin, they're all named to back up. I haven't heard anything otherwise at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it just comes down. It comes down to the handbrake or anchor that is Tyrone May, and the drifting in and out of Matt Burton. He's not quite that guy that can sort of take control of a game for 80 minutes.
Yeah,
is that enough to give the Warriors a chance? Look, I'm inclined to say no, but...
What Warriors come out?
That's the thing, you know, that's too variable, right?
The other consideration at the moment is, you know, Penrith is still a young team. Yeah. Api Korosau is the oldest player on that team, and he's 28 years old.
Yep.
They're also in the bubble for the first time. They're away from their families. I don't know if this is common news or whether it's come out while we were recording, but the assumption was the Queensland government were going to let families travel up, come up. Bubble, yeah. That's since changed.
Yeah, I had that story opened because it only came out while we were talking about the news.
Okay.
And I just forgot to get to it, yeah.
So they've backflipped because the Queensland government hates families. So they don't want anyone to experience any joy at all. So they've said, no, your families can't come. So
get your joy from pumping other teams.
That's it.
Not your wives.
Or so there's a couple of variables that are going to mean the Panthers have to be mentally stronger. Skill wise, on paper, they should have it all over this Warriors team. And this is just another week where they're going to have to learn that, okay, well, without Cleary and Luai, we still need to step up and do our jobs.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be rough that people like Yo and To'o are going to be tired. But if they can hold the ball, what's killed them in the last couple of weeks has been silly mistakes. if they can hold the ball and complete at a high percentage, I think they're too much for the Warriors.
I'd agree. In fact, you know, just holding the ball often is enough. You know what I mean? Just the possession and opportunities will come.
Yep.
Broncos and the West Tigers. It's the Glenn Blakely Cup.
You're a cup.
4 o'clock. Why, for speaking the truth?
Just as you say that.
As you would say, as you would describe this game, if you were like a, you know, like a commercial voiceover guy, you're like, Sunday, one day only. It's the Glenn Blakely Cup. It's we versus me in the battle for my love.
So,
it's me. That's some of your best.
So the Broncos side. Okay, so Haas, Coates, and Flegler are named to back up. Corey Pace is there in 14. Bullimore drops to reserves. The West Tigers side. Mbai drops to the bench. Dewey at 5'8". And how do you pronounce this young gentleman's name? Ponga, I want to say.
I've heard a few different people have differing cracks at it. I want to say Pauga. Pauga.
Has anyone approached the player to ask? Or are
well,
we
not
just,
me. That's why I'm fucking throwing it out there. That's
I guess we'll just have to wait and listen to what the commentator says on the day, right? McKayley starts fucking, at lock, 12 drops to the bench.
You're white-splaining the players' names. Well done.
Yeah, Glenn.
Thank you for your input, Joy.
Joy?
And Tukey Simpkins on the bench to debut as well. So, I feel like this game for the Broncos is as winnable as like the Sharkies game. Sure, you look at the game before the players take the field and go, nah, they're going to lose again because they're the Broncos. It's what they do. It's in their DNA. But if anything we've learned this year, I mean, the West Tigers are a beatable side.
Wow. Welcome to Glenn, this week in understatements.
Talk me through this game and how the West Tigers are going to get away with the win.
By scoring more points than the opposition to start with, but if we drill down a little bit further, you look at the quality of the West Tigers side and you realise there's fuck all, but there's more than enough to beat the Broncos. Dane Laurie alone will single-handedly cut the Broncos to shreds. And I feel like this has got 50 all over it, and I feel like the Tigers will put 50 on the Broncos.
I don't know if this game will have 50 total.
You know nothing about rugby league, and I feel you should be embarrassed to be hosting the number one rugby league podcast on the planet.
I don't think there'll be 50 minutes worth of rugby league in this game.
What's that, sorry?
I don't think there'll be 50 minutes worth of rugby league in this game.
As with all West Tigers games, the only thing you could actually lock in for this game is an offer to score a try after
the
60th
time.
Minute.
Yeah.
To score a try after the 60th minute.
But only if they're losing by more than 3 tries.
Yeah, true. True.
If they need one to actually win, no way.
Look, I think the Tigers are going to win the game. 50. Fuck out of here. Yeah. The Rabbits taking on
the
Bulldogs.
I'll expect a Texer.
No, I'll say it on the show. Everyone can hear me. If you beat the Broncos by 50, or if you score 50, I don't care if you win 50-48. I'll give you the 50 if that's the case.
I gotcha.
All right. The Rabbits take on the Bulldogs down at Seabus. The Rabbits side, okay. Origin guys all are set to back up. So that's Mitchell, Murray, Cook, and a Gagai.
For the Bulldogs, though, are their Origin players backing up? Fuck the Bulldogs.
Yeah, look, Overseer Manafanai replaces off Hickey Ogden on the bench. Josh Jackson will switch to second row. Tony plays lock. Dury and Ockenbore named in the reserves as they both look to return from injury. Most of the Rabbits boys, well, you know, all and bar Gagai, play for the Blues, and I think they'll be looking to take it out on somebody. Especially Trell, and that's something we didn't talk about when we were talking about the Origin game. Latrell was very good during this series, and he had his good moments in this in Game 3 of Origin, but he definitely had his cunt hat on.
Mm.
The roles had been reversed from earlier in the series with Dagai.
Yeah.
And he was the Latrell that got suspended after that game against the West Tigers earlier in the season,
mm-hmm.
where he's lashed out and kicked at Garner, and he's done, and he's just, you know, he made some terrible fucking mistakes on the field that led directly to points. You know, he had some really poor moments. I mean, he had a great, you know, he scored a great try, but you know, by and large, he had a lot of poor moments as well in the game.
Yeah,
but even, you know, good or bad, there were a ton of those moments where he just had his cunt hat on, and there was like scuffles and this and that, you know, and he just, I don't think he's at his best when he's in that mode. When he's the guy feeding the other guy and getting under the skin to the other guy, that's when he's kind of at his best.
Yes.
But when it's going against him, it does get to him equally. But yeah, so let's hope that, you know, he takes that in his stride, looks for revenge to take it out on someone, and I think that someone will be the Doggies. And I guess we'll see if the Doggies, if it was a fluke, you know, their improvement they showed against the beat-up Roosters last week. You know, we'll see how they stack up against the Rabbits and, you know, anything under, you know, what, keeping the Rabbits to, you know, 30-ish would be an indicator
Jesus.
Of, not margin, but just like total points. Yeah, that would be like an indicator of some progress, right?
Yep.
Or are they just going to straight up 50-burger them again?
I think it's more likely to be a 50-burger.
Yeah. All right.
My humble opinion.
I agree.
Okay, mailbag time. First question from Trotters.
Fuck that guy.
All our mates. For both New South Wales and Queensland, who is getting their papers stamped, never to play again? I think Kyle Felt is probably a certainty on the Queensland side.
Yes.
I think Flegler
is
a contender because he was poor. Endear
himself. I wasn't impressed with Xavier Coates either, to be quite frank.
I think he'll be in the Storm system and much better for it next year, and he'll go on to be a great Origin winger, I'm certain of it.
And I think a debuting in Flegler's position gives you a grace period.
Yeah.
You know, people like Cody Walker are treated roughly as a one-term Origin player in the halves.
Yep.
But I think Flegler gets a pass.
Yeah, right. New South Wales. I'd love to stamp Jack Whiten, but I just fucking think that he's just one of those guys.
Some Freddie's
going to pick him.
I'd love to see
Moses getting stamped too, but I don't think that's really the question because he's only there through injury, and the guy who's the incumbent is not particularly injury prone, and like young, like of a similar sort of vintage. So it's just going to be one of these cases where he's not going to be able to usurp him in his career, and by the time that Nathan Cleary's career is sort of over, yeah, Moses is kind of going to be approaching that same point as well.
Mm-hmm.
So while you could stamp him, I don't think it's meaningful. Just trying to think who else to stamp. I don't know. I'm happy to not
stamp. Sure, it can't be too many for New South Wales. Fuck.
No, I'm happy not to stamp any other ones, to be honest. I mean, Gutho goes without saying. But
yeah, but that was last year.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact he's in the sort of the squad cutting the oranges and stuff does scare me because it means that, you know, you're only one, you know, brain injury away from him getting on the field again.
Yeah, you're a twisted ankle on the way to get Baskin Robbins from Gutho in your side.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. Queensland got some weird ones too. Like, yeah, I look at someone like Brimson, and it's hard to imagine a place for him in the side anywhere. Provided, like, if Pong is fit, Pong is one forever. He's young as fuck as well. Ben Hunt has far more utility value than AJ Brimson does.
Yep,
exactly.
If Harry Grant's your first choice hooker, and if he's not, then he's your 14.
Given and Ben AJ, Hunt's on the field. AJ Brimson has zero utility value.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get guys like, you know, Hamiso, who, you know, he was fine, but he's kind of only there through attrition and lack of better options and that kind of thing. So I'm not sure if he's, you know, made himself into, you know, some guy who's like a mainstay or anything like that. Mm. Graham says, Moses losing was more enjoyable than a sweep. Agree or really fucking agree? I totally disagree. I love the sentiment of your comment, mate, but I disagree so badly. I wanted the sweep. I wanted the hand grenade. I wanted it for Mossy Massoi more than myself, but, you know, wasn't to be. Ben says, the talk is that Freddie picked the halves for the future. Surely you pick to win every game. Moses has proven nothing, and White and so out of form, he's gone from Dally M winner to not having one Dally M point this year. I agree. 100%. You heard us. I mean, we wanted, well, I think we were in agreement to drop the South halves in, weren't we?
Yeah, that's but, it.
Look, I don't, you know, I just want to level with you. I don't think Freddie is the best coach. Jeez. I think Freddie might be an extremely challenged coach. As evidenced last year when Wayne outcoached him badly, and in game three, where Freddie had used up his entire bench with about 15 minutes to go and didn't have any interchanges left. He can be outcoached. Gabe says, who won the Nathan Merritt Award for worst origin debut this series? Felt, Moses, Bramson, or someone else?
Felt.
I want to say Felt with an absolute bullet. Dan says, the South halves in, do New South Wales win? I reckon that's pretty obvious. Also, I think throwing Finucane in for Saifidi was a mistake. Already had Crichton playing front row off the bench. As good as Finucane is, I think we were short at least one play, one prop. Yeah, look, I could see that Finucane was trying in a game, but I feel like, yeah, there was something lacking in his play. And maybe it was just, you know, I don't know whether it was he was just taking too much on for himself or, you know, overestimating his ability to get over the line.
Yep.
But maybe it was just what he was being fed. But
yeah, true. Anyway. True.
A lot of origin talk here, boys. Sam says, Mitchell Moses never winning an origin game yet winning a series. What the hell is that?
Oh, that's the way origin works.
I hear you, mate. I hear you. Stephen says, our thoughts on the hit into the back of Josh Addo-Carr. Yes, I understand it was perfectly legal within the written rules, but for me, it didn't pass a sniff test. Do you think it become a tactic? For example, turning a player to expose his spine for a hitman that might be adopted to take key players like halves out of the games. P.S. I'm looking at you, Storm. I agree. I mean, it was like, it was so close to the verge of like a, you know, some sort of prowler, sort of dog shot, because it was pretty fucking, it was pretty late. And he was extremely exposed, and you could see he's worked his way around to line him up perfectly to, you know, hit him smack in the kidneys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
look, I, you know,
there is less focus on those types of tackles. I remember it was like round one several years ago where, you know, the prowler was dubbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, and rightfully so. Guys are fucking vulnerable when someone's just approaching straight from the back into their kidneys, completely unprotected.
The one that I feel goes unpoliced now is attacking the legs.
Yeah.
Like the amount of times that you see somebody, you know, lower themselves and drive into the, like the lower thigh, so essentially the fucking knee of someone in a tackle. And I'm amazed there aren't more injuries out of it.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrific.
Yeah, agree. Dean said, Moses is a bigger myth than Bible Moses. Yeah. let's see. I'm just going to skip the work. Don't want to do too many of these. We've done the origin talk already. Ryan says, I've seen a petition going around from Doggies fans to keep Lachlan Lewis at the club. Should they retain him and play him in the second row? Manly have done it with Schuster, and it seems to have worked well. Yeah.
I think Lachlan Lewis would get murdered in the second row. Schuster's a completely different body type.
Completely different builds. And not only that, Lewis has shown himself to be well and truly susceptible to getting knocked out and things as well. So I'd want him to fuck out of there if possible.
Yeah. Some fucking grit in him.
Yeah.
Like there are worse qualities you can have in a player, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Mark says, we've seen some massive scorelines this season. Is there stats on most points scored collectively by all teams in one season? Well, you made me do some research on this one, and I want to say, yes, There are such statistics out there. If you go to rugbyleagueproject.org, like rugbyleagueproj.org, I think it is, they've got it now. So I just did a bit of a quick look up just of the modern sort of, you know, last sort of 20 years or so. And in 2001, which was the season where Parramatta was super dominant and they got the grand final and the Knights beat them in the grand final, that was a 15-team season. I think it was a 14-team when they brought South back into the competition in any case. And yep. the total points scored was 8,890.
Wow.
And an average of 48.85 a game. 2019 was 16 teams, 192 games. That's what we're getting out of seasons mostly these days, you know, with the exception of the COVID one last year. It was 7,585 at 39.51 average per game. This year, we will have, if we have the same 192 games, at the average that we are at today, which is 45.87, that'll be a total of 8,807.04 for the year, which is just under, about 85 under the all-time record that from what I've seen in like the modern era. So look, I feel like that could actually, the average could go up, to be honest, you know, per game. I think that's it's only an unconverted try per game.
And I think as teams adapt, though, I think it'll probably start trending down. But
There is that. But also I think that there's a potentiality that the average has been brought back a little bit over the origin period. And now as teams like the Storm and Manly get their full complements of players back.
And when teams fall completely out of even mathematical possibility of making, you know, and they get a couple of tries put on them early and turn their toes up, that they could lead to some fairly horrible blowouts.
It's only half a dozen 50 burgers, and that average is that, and they make up that shortfall that may see this as the largest. I was surprised to see, like, when I was flicking through the last sort of 20, 25 seasons, it was interesting to see how it all worked. Like, the averages around like 2001, 2003, around that era, most seasons were sort of about 8,600 points per season. Yep. And then as you got towards, like, 2019, like, 2018, around then, it was more like about 7,500.
Mm. Yeah,
and,
okay.
And then it sort of, then it picked up again. Yeah, it's not a crazy, you know, difference when you think of the average. It's like basically 6 points a game over, you know, both sides. But, it's interesting. Tim says, is Brad Fittler actually a shit coach and has a stack of superstars making him look better? Yes. Would you not agree, would you?
Yeah.
Where are we? That's it. Almost everyone in the mailbag was from Origin Talk. So congratulations, fellas. I mean, for not using the social threads at the time, giving Stepdad the material he needs to speak about after the games. Well done, fellas. That's it for episode 416. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us on Twitter, Patreon, Facebook group, our Facebook page, fucking everywhere, Instagram. Head to thisweekinleague.com/links. And you'll have links to all of the things I mentioned. Best way to support the show, become a patron. Join our Patreon for as little as $5 a month. You get extra episodes, and we talk about some of the extra stuff we're throwing out to over the next couple of weeks as well. Can't wait to do all that sort of thing. And obviously, yeah, we want to build it out more and more and more as we go as well. Support a friend. Invite your friends into the Facebook group. The growth of that group's been awesome this year.
Can I just put out there as well?
Yes.
There are a couple of people who have requested to join that group under dubious identities. Now, we get that there are some people that need to fly incognito because of their work on Facebook. But
fucking
if you're
cowards.
One of them's you.
Me?
Or in fucking dim lighting could be confused for you. Like put it this way, you wouldn't want to invite him to your 41st birthday. And then
I don't invite cunts to my birthdays. I'm good.
You know, If your lovely wife had a couple of glasses of wine, stop, she might turn into his biggest fan. But if you've asked to join that group under an obvious fake name with a brand new Facebook account, just send us a message and let us know that, you know, you don't have to tell us why, but just let us know that, you know, you're a person. Tell us something about the show.
You're a person. Yeah, too. You're still a person.
And honestly, and you know, you know your Facebook identity. You know who we're talking about.
So,
it was a really obvious one that came up, you know, over the last couple of days. Before we close the show, I'd love to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons, John, Tonksy, and A Fridge Too Far. Thank you so much for support, guys. And we appreciate you motherfuckers more than we can ever show. And I'll tell you what, I just like the last couple of days started getting real, thinking like this Rona shit, it's going to fuck us up again. In terms of like meetups and stuff, you know, Christmas time. Like maybe, you know, Queensland, you know, probably, you know, maybe could be okay. But who fucking knows? Like Sydney's locked down. Exactly. Sydney's locked down for another month.
At least. It is. Yeah.
And so that takes us well into August. And so the margins of error to get down like late September, early October, so fucking slim again.
Yeah, they are.
And even, you know, even if it's not full lockdown, what sort of restrictions on crowds and...
Yeah, and this was the sort of stuff we were prepared to work with last year before it got fully locked down, you know?
Here's the real talk. I'm putting it out there that even if they say that flights are available, I probably wouldn't risk going down.
Yeah. Well, that's the position we were in last year. We bought flights last year.
Yeah, but
about a week later, we're like, yeah.
I can't risk having to lock down
whilst you're
for
there.
2 weeks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because one of those weeks...
Yeah, that's it.
It's going to be...
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There'll be a poor little cunt trying to cook his own breakfast.
You'll be right.
I'll come back. There'll be some big titty blonde living here sleeping in my bed.
Look, he's got an industrious streak in his DNA, let's be honest. Apples and trees, my friend, apples and trees.
But yeah.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And then you can make a bong out of it.
Anyway, fellas, that's it. That's it for this week. I'll talk to you guys, I guess, on Sunday night. And yep. Do you have any closing words you'd like to leave off with?
I'd like to tell Jay to go fuck himself for his image that he's just put in the Facebook group. I've said it once. Okay. I've said it a thousand times. Your account.
On behalf of our good friend, Mr. Wars, who is not on Facebook and thus can't do it, I've added that image
for you. I love him. I love that guy. There's a thousand. It's like you. There's a thousand reasons why I shouldn't, but I still do.
I can't believe I haven't gotten zucked yet.
And as I go in there to bestow that picture with a ha ha react, and bestow your reply with a care react, we'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.